We Talk Podcast presents...
Are you for real? I thought maybe we could have some dinner.
I let you in. We are not drinking Cosmos and braiding each other's hair.
Welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast. I'm Joel Johnson, and today we get to talk about rom-coms because I was made to watch 10 different rom-coms by Mackenzie.
I don't think I made you. You volunteered.
Yeah, I made that mistake. I think I've learned my lesson for the future. But before we do that, so the Friends versus How I Met Your Mother did not go how I thought it would. I lost.
It went exactly how I thought it was going to go. I knew it.
I'm not happy. This sucked. I was like, so Mackenzie, you have won. Any victory speech?
I think the greatest victory was how your own dad even voted for me.
This is just not fair. No, this sucked.
You are his firstborn son, and he voted for me, a complete stranger. So,
thanks, Dad. That helped me out a lot. But now we'll get to the task at hand, because Mackenzie won. And I watched 10 different rom-coms, and it was a unique experience. I'm usually watching murder, death.
How do you describe a rom-com? What makes a rom-com to you?
Watching all these. A rom-com is guy meets girl or girl meets guy. It's one or the other, or guy meets guy or girl meets girl. You never know.
2016.
Yeah.
Don't put them in a box.
Make it fair. And it's just their adventure to either ending up together. It's not necessarily getting married, but it's necessarily getting together and seeing where that goes. So that's kind of what I think a rom-com is.
You are correct. You're just missing one thing, that there needs to be a twist of some sort, that it needs to just be something weird. And in the list, there's always that one weird twist that throws people off. And that's the difference between a rom-com and just a romantic movie.
Yeah, that's fair. Yes, because they do need to have that comedic timing and element to it to work, or it's just... I can't think of any romantic movies that come to mind. 50 Shades of Grey, maybe?
That one was pretty funny if you watch it from my point of view. But The Time Traveler's Wife, that's just a romantic movie. Titanic, there's nothing comedy there. And that is the storyline, boy meets girl, and then they get together.
Yeah. So, first one on the list, This Means War.
I chose this one to kick you off with because, in my opinion, it's like the boy rom-com because they have, not to put boys in a box, they have this action element of that there's two spies, but it still had the underlining storyline that it was a rom-com.
I feel like I've been placed in a box, but nevertheless, I liked it. I thought it was a decent movie where it was nice and fun, and you kind of knew where it was going. It had that twist. Tom Hardy, Chris Pine were both entertaining actors, so I can get behind everyone that was in this cast. The only gripe I had was... there was no issue with the women dating two guys at the same time, but if it had been a guy dating two women, then it would be perceived as, oh, look at this. Look at what it's just kind of very, it shows that there are double standards in life.
You're a real fucker. Because I said that last night when we did this podcast. I made that point. Let's make it clear that he is now stealing the things that I say. But you're right. Because then the second movie we chose, The Other Woman, it is that kind of situation where the guy cheats on the girl, but he's a pig. And I think they did a good job of sort of narrowing it up by showing how guilty Reese Witherspoon felt about there being two guys in her life.
Yeah, and yeah, you know, you lose at the How I Met Your Mother friend, you're going to start stealing stuff from the winner. So that's my argument. But, you know, this was a fine movie. They did a good job. And the one thing that I think I learned, at least, is you take the movie for what it is, and you'll enjoy it a little bit more instead of going, this has to be perfect. This has to be amazing. Lower the expectations. Just expect that it's going to be a rom-com. It is going to be that typical movie. But with bullets flying in, I really enjoyed when they screwed with each other. That was
funny. When one of my favorite scenes is when they both snuck into her house and she's just like popping popcorn and they keep popping up and hiding cameras everywhere. And then when they're watching the footage later together, that's probably one of the best scenes in that movie.
They definitely use the spy element to their advantage, which is a good thing because it helped make this movie fresh.
Yeah. It gave that the movie, it made it stand out from other ones, right? That they could be spies. which is, again, the twist, the comedic twist that was in this one. Because if it had just been a girl dating two guys, it wouldn't be that funny. But the two guys that are spies and actually work together, that's what made it funny.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think this on my list, it's in the middle. It's a nice little middle movie that was enjoyable. It's not something that I would go out of my way to watch over and over again. But, you know, nice fun movie and decent choice to start things off.
That was the point. The second one is The Other Women, which we already talked about a little bit. This is my top 10 favorite movies. It's up there. It's not as good as Tommy Boy, but it's up there. And I think it's just because I was thinking about this on the drive over here. It's a movie that shows that women can tear each other apart, but they can also build each other up. Because you have two really good actresses, Cameron Diaz and Kate Upton, who are both kind of this female body, like Cameron Diaz was in the 90s. Everyone wanted to look like her. And now in 2016, everyone wants to look like Kate Upton. So to have them together and competing for the same guy a little bit was really interesting for me to watch, at least. And then have Leslie Mann, who's the complete opposite of both of them, actually have the guy. Like, she technically won. She was married to him. They had a life together. If anyone truly got hurt in that movie, it was her.
From my point of view, I'm watching it, I enjoyed it. It was fun. I think Leslie was probably my favorite from there. The Kate Upton character was better than what I expected. I thought, dumb blonde, model, don't know what her acting experience is. And she did a very good job. I tip my hat to her. She did really good. Cameron Diaz was fun, and the guy was an asshole. And he deserved what he got. And when he went through glass and when they tortured him, it was enjoyable to watch. It's definitely one of those little movies that you can kind of go, he's going to get his ass handed to him. But it's the joy of watching, okay, how are they going to screw with him?
Yeah, because they definitely started with the childish pranks, like, oh, let's put Nair in his shampoo and give him hormones for that he thinks he's growing boobs and make him act like an irrational woman. But then they really get to the point of it, which is, let's take all his money away from him and make him nothing. And that was the main storyline in this, was showing the difference between girls and women.
And especially when the money came into play, I enjoyed that because that suddenly became another twist to it. It added a little more depth because, like you said last night, Kate Upton's suggestion was just kick him in the nuts.
Yeah.
And they went for the jugular, which was a nice refresh because they would have just gone for the silly little pranks, make his life miserable, but they really hit him hard.
Yeah, which he totally deserved. And the reason I chose this one for the second one is because I wanted to keep you on this high of really funny movies. I thought it was a little bit better than This Means War, and it definitely brought in more of it being a girly kind of thing. Because the storyline is this, it's not something a guy could really relate to, right? It's a girl storyline. Like, you're not putting anyone in a box, right? A lot of girls have been cheated on or have been a part of a kind of a scheme like that. And so that's why I chose this one, for that you would get into that girly kind of mind for the next 8 movies.
And just for record, I didn't really, like, for me as a guy, and that's probably the best thing about some of these movies, is you kind of see that other side of the coin, mm-hmm. where typically you would just be like, I'm the guy and I'm going to relate to the male. But this is one of those stories where it's female heavy, and I would put this, ahead of This Means War, but it's not that high on my list. And I think it is comes down to that. It is female. It's more female-oriented story. Nothing wrong with that. It just, for me, it didn't click as much. But exactly. that's just me.
The next one is, what the fuck is that? Oh, The Proposal. I can't even read my own text. The next one is The Proposal. I chose this one because I know how you have a giant man crush on Ryan Reynolds, as do I, and I also have a crush on Sandra Bullock. But it was also to show that normal situation can be turned upside down in a rom-com. Like, all she is getting deported. It's a big deal, but it's a normal thing. Like, he wasn't cheating on her with 3 different girls, and they weren't spies. Like, it was a very normal situation that a rom-com manipulated to make it into a funny movie.
I totally agree, and I think this is one of those movies that I would put high on my list. I enjoyed it. I thought, and you're absolutely right, because I was watching this right when Deadpool came out, so it all kind of clicked together. I really enjoyed it. This was fun, and it was a funny movie. Everyone played their parts well. The best one, though, is Betty White.
I did love Betty White. I also love the, like, Mexican Carlos stripper that they have pop up all over. Like, he's the drugstore guy. He's the priest at their wedding. Like, I definitely loved his character because when you watch The Office, he's from The Office, you will get it that the character he normally plays is a super, like, stern guy. He is still gay. Super stern, though, sticks to the rules. And then to see him in this part was just so over the top for me, and I loved it.
Oh, yeah. It was definitely different for what he, from what you've described, he is definitely different. But everything in this movie really, I really enjoyed, like the writing, the acting. There were a lot of funny moments, and I think that was one of the biggest things I was looking for in a lot of these rom-coms. As I'm judging them, because I'm going to judge them, he didn't make me laugh. Did I enjoy it? Did the actors and actresses do a good job? And the proposals probably right up there on my list as one or two the top ones. There's another one here that I really enjoyed, but we'll get to that later.
I think you're right, because also when you're watching rom-coms, you can't just look for the comedy. Otherwise, I think the other women would win, because that's a lot more funny than it is touching. But this one also had really touching moments, like when you learn about her parents and how they died, and that's the way she is, and when you learn about his kind of situation. So you have to look both for those like touching moments and the funny moments, and if they balance them well, which the proposal did.
And I agree. I think they did have that balance. And that's why, for me, I really enjoyed this and was really glad you put this on the list.
The third one is It's Complicated. And I got to tell you, Joel, never have I wanted to bang an old guy until I watched this movie. And then it was like, Steve Martin, where's your penis been all my life?
I did not have that reaction at all. I did not sit there and go, wow, Steve Martin. This was probably one of the lower ones on my... I just did not resonate with me. I think the best character in this was the son-in-law, John Krasinski. Thank you. I think he was the one that I enjoyed the most. There were a few funny moments, and there were moments where it was laugh, but this movie definitely took the longest for me to get through, and it just felt like at times I was like, you're bringing this on yourself. You're not only A, cheating, you bring this on yourself, you're creating this whole conflict, you clearly see that the nice braid hair Steve Martin is sitting off to the side there, so take advantage of it.
And the point of me making you watch this one, because I knew right away, I'm like, Joel's not going to like this. It's an old white person movie, like she's remodeling her kitchen. There's nothing exciting going on, but I wanted to make the transformation between the, like, newer rom-coms to the older ones, and I thought what a better way to do that than to have old actors do it, like the old famous ones, too, the really famous for rom-coms, well, at least Meryl Streep is, and Alec Baldwin, but their storyline, too, is just kind of going back to that old traditional rom-com of, you know, she's making a mistake, and she should be with the good guy, but she doesn't realize that till the end. Although the ending to this one is something that still gets me every time, because does she end up with Steve Martin? It's kind of very confusing, because he just comes over to build her house, and they don't really talk if they're together or not.
Yeah, they kind of left you hanging a little bit, which might have been a good thing, because then you're kind of left going, huh, I wonder how, because she did kind of, I mean, Steve Martin saw Alec Baldwin's penis. I think that would definitely affect the relationship a little bit.
That's the best part of the entire movie. That's the comedy of that one. If that scene wasn't in there, I don't think it would be a rom-com. But, like, because there aren't many laugh-out-loud scenes. But then even him doing the penis thing, and then him bending over and seeing the inside of his ass, like, oh, my God.
It was definitely like, yeah, no, this definitely ranks lower on my list. It's, you know, it's a decent movie, but it's just not for me.
Yeah. And the next one was one I definitely thought would be for you, Failure to Launch. I really wanted to focus on the casting with this one, which is why I showed it to you. Because one of the supporting actors, Bradley Cooper, if this movie was recasted today, he would play the main part. Guaranteed. He is that... If you don't know the storyline, it's about a laid-back guy who still lives with his parents. And so who else better to play that than Bradley Cooper? He plays the laid-back guy in all his movies. So it was interesting to see him not play that character.
This was one of the movies that is like that one or two for me. I really enjoyed this. I had a lot of fun watching this. Like, it was that whole, okay, I'm trying to get rid of her. And it was that whole back and forth. Okay, I'm going to get rid of her. It was very much like How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, but kind of, it had a little twist to it. But it was an enjoyable movie. I laughed at it a lot of different points, and there's a few people in my life that I'm like, you're getting close to that failure to launch, so.
I agree, and it's funny you should compare it to How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, because if I hadn't suggested you watch it back in, what, September, I told you to watch that, then that would have been on the list instead of Failure to Launch. I didn't enjoy this one. I thought this would be one that you didn't like, too, because I'm not a big fan of Sarah Jessica Parker unless she's playing Carrie Bradshaw. Do you know who Carrie Bradshaw is? Sex and the City. It's about a journalist.
Shocking.
That's my favorite. Anyways, it was a TV series. And the character in this one is just so different. And I don't know. I don't like her unless she's playing that one specific character for me. And I couldn't see her as this girl who could get any guy and convince him to change his entire life for her. Like, I just don't see her that way.
I kind of did. I saw it worked. I thought it worked. I thought the casting was pretty good. I do agree with the Bradley Cooper as a lead, though, for sure. But I thought, you know, Matthew McConaughey did a good job as Matthew McConaughey. Because yeah. It felt like it was just Matthew McConaughey.
Which is his, like, whole little schnick, right? Like, that he is the laid-back guy. I'm just saying, if it was recasted 2016, Bradley Cooper would play the part. And it's funny because he played a smaller part. And Justin Bartha played that part perfectly, too. And then later on, they did The Hangover together. And I'm like, oh, fuck, that's cool. You guys did that movie before, too.
Yeah, there. You do see that that some actors do click better than others. So, yeah, no, this is definitely one of the most enjoyable of the movies you showed me.
The next one is, oh, I knew this one was going to be bad, 13 going on 30. This is the reason Mark Ruffalo will never be the Hulk to me. This is the reason that, who's the original Hulk? I can't think of his name right now.
Well, Eric Bana played it first, and then it was, oh God, well, Norton. Edward. I can't think of it. It's Norton. Yeah. Edward Norton.
It is Edward Norton. How dare you tell me who my Hulk is. He's the Hulk to me because of this movie. Mark Ruffalo plays the goofy photographer guy that, like, was fat as a kid. And I just think that's so adorable. I knew you weren't going to like it, though, because it's a kid movie. It really is. I liked it when I was a kid. If I rewatched it today, I wouldn't like it.
I should have made you watch this because I just sat there through it and I was like, okay.
It's such a 2005 movie, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Like,
it is one.
Everything about it.
I was sitting there, I was like, is it done yet? Is it done yet? Is it done yet? And it finally finished, and they rewrote history, apparently, so.
That is the best part, though, when they're carrying their couch out onto their front lawn, and they're, like, living in the dream house. Maybe it's just a 12-year-old girl in me that loved it.
There's no 12-year-old girl for me, so I just didn't, I didn't buy it.
This one's the lowest one? This has been the worst?
No, there's another one that I sat there and was like, please shoot me now.
The point of me making you watch this terrible movie, because I knew it was bad, was just to show you, again, the old-fashioned ones. We're kind of working our way more into the old ones. And you made a really good point when we were texting that it's like before 2008, the girl's main goal in life is to get married. And then after, it's suddenly that she needs more, that she needs all these character things. And Jennifer Gardner in this movie was kind of like almost a stepping stone. There's one that's a bigger stepping stone where it shows that she could have her career in the one life, but she would also have a husband in the other. So it kind of made her choose. And she chose the husband. And I don't think they played enough about that in the movie. Because you don't know if she keeps her job when she gets Mark Ruffalo, right?
That's very true. Because that does change. That is actually a really good point. Because it is that. Now, I guess in real life, you kind of get to have a little bit of both. As long as you're smart and you find the right foundation, right people, and not crazy. But this is that whole you have to choose. You can either have a career or be in a relationship. And it's kind of that, it's interesting to kind of see that, because to me personally, I'm kind of like, no, you just have to be smart with your time.
It's really interesting, though, how they don't talk about it. And I think it's because it was in 2005. If the movie was made in 2016, people would be like, well, what happened to her career? Or, like, why couldn't she have been married in the second life? Like, it would have been one of those things. But 2005 was 2005, so.
It was a different time.
Hillary Duff and all.
All right.
Is Along Came Polly? Love, Wedding, and Marriage. Oh, I forgot to put this one on the list.
I hate you for putting this on the list. Oh, man, that was bad. That was just bad filmmaking. Like, that was... You have no idea how much I watched that. I was like, I'm going to take myself out back and hang myself. Because, oh, my... Why? It was horrible. Horrible.
The why is because I needed to include Mandy Moore on this list. She is one of the queens of rom-coms. Always has been, always will be. And License to Wed, the movie I really did want you to watch, wasn't on Netflix at the time. It is now. Has John Krasinski in it. It's really good. And Robin Williams. But I was like, I need a Mandy Moore movie because she was definitely during that period I'm trying to show you right now of the girl just needing the guy. So that's why this movie was thrown on here because she doesn't really, like, they talk about her career a little bit, but she definitely isn't super obsessed with her career. Nor is she obsessed with the guy. It's kind of about her parents a lot.
Yeah, I didn't like it. I was just like, ugh. Oh, what have I... What did I do to deserve this?
I didn't think you would hate it that much. There were some twists in there that I didn't see coming. Like the kid showing up?
Yeah, you know, thinking about it, it's not terrible, but it's definitely not something I will ever watch again.
No, it's a one-time viewing. I've never seen it again. But it was definitely an interesting casting job, too, who they casted to play everyone. And I just, the part when the brother comes in, the first glimpse of him, I thought maybe it was going to be that the dad's gay. And so I was kind of riding that the rest of the movie. And then I'm like, oh shit, it's his son. And so that's why I liked it. It was a good twist.
Yeah, I just, no. Not great, Bob. Not great.
And then, oh, but we changed it.
Yeah.
So it's Never Been Kissed, but P.S. I Love You is not on there. Okay. Never Been Kissed. Did you love it? I love it. It's why I became a journalist.
You know, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie. And I had the biggest thing that I saw in this was there were definitely a few cringeworthy moments where I was like, and it's just because of how it's playing out for that character, which is a good thing. When I have a emotional reaction to a story, whether it's laughing or cringing or sad or angry, and it's the proper emotion to have for the movie, then I think they've done their job. And they did a good job, and I thought they did a very good job all around with it. The casting was really good. It definitely raises that interesting question with that teacher, for sure. So...
It is, and I used this in my ethics class the other day as an example, because she definitely writes the story, or at least the newspaper does, about how the teacher started an inappropriate relationship. But did he?
See, and that's the interesting thing, because you could see, like, from a viewer standpoint, you kind of, like, okay, yeah, you can tell that he's kind of into her, but he didn't make any inappropriate moves or gestures. So I think that is a big thing. Actions speak louder than words, so didn't do anything creepy, so.
Out of all the guys on this list, though, he's the dreamiest. I still one day want to marry him. He's just so adorable. Do you know who he is, though? He's Richard's son from Friends.
Holy crap. Oh, yeah, he is.
No, he's not Tom Selleck's kid.
Yeah, but no, the one that
he dated Monica.
Monica kissed him, and it just was very weird from there.
Which is funny, though, because the character Josie Geller reminded me of Monica Geller.
Yeah. OCD, everything.
And when they were fat, when they were kids, like, not popular in high school, like, that definitely, when I watch it, I think of Friends.
And it has the Geller last name, so it all clicks.
Clearly, she just is Monica Geller, but Courtney Cox didn't want to play the part. And also, again, I wanted Drew Barrymore needed to be on this, and it went back to that time frame. Where at the end, she doesn't really have a job at the end because she quits that newspaper, right? Does she quit? I haven't seen it in a while.
I think she publishes the story and then he shows up and then it helps.
But the big ta-da isn't that she gets her promotion, it's that he shows up.
Yeah.
Very romantic kissing scene, though, on the baseball field. Everyone knows about it.
It just seemed really weird to have a whole bunch of people watch you have your first kiss.
But that's why it was a gesture. Oh, my God. And if it was with him, I'd let anybody watch.
Do you know? No, I'm good.
Who's better looking, Steve Martin or this guy? Who would marry, fuck, kill? Steve Martin, the guy for Never Been Kissed, and Chris Pine.
Oh, God. We're playing this game. This is horrible.
On here. For people who don't know, I make Joel play this all the time, and he happens to answer really fast sometimes, as if he already knew the answer, like with that 70s show.
Where's a hole that I can... Okay, so it's Chris Pine, this guy, and Steve Martin. Well, let's kill Steve Martin. Yep, just for you.
just, bad person award.
Mary. Well, you know what? We'll go with this guy because he reads, so it works. And then who is the other one left?
Chris Pine from this.
So perfect. There you go.
You have to say it. What are you gonna do to Chris Pine?
Oh God.
What are you gonna do to Spock? That's who he is.
He's actually
Captain Kirk. He's Captain Kirk. I'm so sorry. Did I offend you, nerdling?
Okay. Yes, you did. Okay, so I guess I'll go through it. So fuck Chris Pine.
Are you catching or are you receiving?
Oh God, what have I?
No, you're catching. It's Chris Pine.
I'm going to find a hole, and this is the end. This is the end. So fuck Chris Pine. You just want to keep hearing me say that.
Yep.
Kill Steve Martin and marry this guy from Never Been Kissed.
Yeah. So who you'll also have to fuck. Gotta keep that marriage alive. Gotta keep the spark alive.
What have I done to myself? Man.
The next one is Along Came Polly. The original one on the list was P.S. I Love You. I immediately had doubts when I put it on there. Because that one is just a romantic movie. If you've ever seen... Have you seen it? There are a few scenes, because they have this really funny actor in it, who's normally funny. Gerard Butler. And normally he is a funny actor, so you would assume there to be some funny scenes, and there are. But overall, her husband dies. And so it's a very sad movie, but it's kind of like re-falling in love with him through these letters he leaves her. But Along Came Polly was put on there, definitely out of order, because in this movie, Jennifer Aniston acts as a stepping stone for women to show that she didn't need the guy. Ben Stiller needed her.
I thought this is another movie that I very much liked. I thought, wow, they did a very good job. And you made this point in text that it was the exact opposite of Rachel Green. And yep. She totally was the exact opposite. I thought that there was good character growth on both parties. I thought that you saw Ben Stiller finally kind of get over that he's been cheated on by, and I loved the guy that had he was hilarious. It was,
and he's from Friends too.
Yeah,
and like it's so funny because when they were making this, Ben Stiller does an episode of Friends as Rachel's boyfriend, and so it's just always when I watch it, I'm like, oh, because you guys were dating in that other movie. But it's definitely, yeah, when you watch it, it doesn't even seem like it's Rachel Green, which is so weird for me to see her and not be Rachel.
Yeah.
Because even when I watch movies today, it starts out with, oh, she's Rachel. And then it changes because she's a terrific actress. I love her. I'd marry, fuck, and kill her. Anyway.
I don't know if I would kill her. I think 2 out of 3.
Okay. Oh, Joel. I thought you were a Monica woman. Anyways.
no comment.
No, but it definitely was that new age comedy where you saw she kind of had her life a mess, but she was okay with it. She was okay with being a mess. He wasn't okay with her being a mess.
Yeah, he needed a little bit more. I just think that overall I enjoyed the dynamic between the two. And most of the cast, Philip Seymour Hoffman, phenomenal actor. Just, it didn't matter what role he was in. He could just throw himself in it and you bought what he was doing. And it's a shame that he's no longer here, but he was a great supporting character for Ben.
And I always, it's amazing that he was a good supporting character, because you would think a man of his, like, stature would want to be the lead and would, like, steal the scene. But his character is definitely, he plays like a childhood star, right? It's been a while since I've seen this one, too. And he plays just, he's a good dynamic with Ben, because he's a little bit like Polly, but a little bit like Ben and a little bit his own character. Which is why he was able to, like, talk to everyone in the movie.
Yeah. No, and I thought he definitely... This was an enjoyable... This is one of those top three movies between this, The Proposal, and Failure to Launch for me.
Wow. I would have put The Other Woman in there above Along Came Polly. But no, actually, I remember when I went to see Along Came Polly, everyone was standing outside to watch the road. That's me hitting it. I hit the door. Apparently Joel's afraid. Anyways.
I'm jumpy.
I remember going to see it, and everyone was lined up for the Rugrats movie. And my mom snuck me into Along Came Polly, and I was so underage. And there are a few scenes in there that a kid should not have been watching.
No, definitely not what
but
I would...
The thing is, you don't get them, those scenes, until you're older, right? Yeah.
No, and yeah, they're definitely. I think everything in these. I don't think there was never a kid-friendly movie in any. 13 going on 30 is probably.
That was the kid one. There are definitely no sex scenes in it, right?
Yep.
Except for the guy being naked at the beginning, but even then, it's kind of funny. And no, that was the kid one.
Yeah. So, final one. Okay, when I take it back, the love, wedding, marriage is not the worst one on this list.
I watch this movie once a year on Valentine's Day because what else am I going to do? I don't have a boyfriend. It's called Valentine's Day. Here's the point, everybody. Strap down for this. All right. The point of me making Joel do this, the original idea I had was to take all these famous rom-com actors and put them in their famous rom-com movies and have it end in this one because they were all in it. So, for example, I was going to have Topher Grace, and one of his movies was going to be When a Date with Tad Hamilton. That wasn't on Netflix. Too bad, though. Terrific movie. Anyway, so then I got this better idea that Valentine's Day is a movie where they took all the rom-com actors, put them in rom-com situations, and then made the movie based around the day that is rom-com, like the day of rom-coms, which is Valentine's Day. And so each of these movies that he watched beforehand were a storyline in Valentine's Day, because Valentine's Day is 10 different storylines rolled into one.
This was hard to watch. It's okay. I'll give it that. But I sit there and I watched it and I'm like, that's how that's going to play out. It's very easy to figure out. I get why people watch it on Valentine's Day. No disrespect. It just was not the movie for me. And I sat there and there were several moments where I was like, this isn't going to play out for you. Don't do it. Of course, they're like, oh, well, go do it. See how it works out for you. But, you know, there's some redeeming qualities. I think it is that fun little cute movie that, you know, it's all right. It could be worse. It could be Super Babies. Is it Super Babies or Genius Babies? It's where babies are smart and intelligent and smarter.
Oh, fuck yeah. I remember that movie. That was awful. The problem with Valentine's Day, and then I'll say a good thing about it, is that they have too many storylines and they don't get developed enough.
They're very much kind of...
surface level.
Yeah, surface level. I mean, I think the best storyline was the football player, the retired football player. I didn't know where that was going, and then they kind of... pull that
sword. Bradley Cooper at the end, yeah.
I thought that was very good.
I thought the army one with Julia Roberts, because I really didn't know who she was going home to. I assumed she was going home to the football player, actually. And then it's funny because it's Bradley Cooper who she goes home to. But no, that was funny. But a good thing they did, they paired the actors up right, because the actors only kind of cross over with each other occasionally. Mostly they're with their partner. So having Anne Hathaway with Topher Grace, never would have put those two together in my mind, but it worked so well. I loved them together, and I fucking hate Anne Hathaway.
I like Anne Hathaway, so...
Well, nah. Topher Grace is husband number 15.
Yeah, there's some... You know, there were some very strong performances. I think the performance that was kind of like, was... Oh, what's his name? Kelso.
Ashton Kutcher.
I just kind of sat there and was like, man, you're the nice, good guy. Oh, so it feels so bad.
He was the stereotypical rom-com guy, though. All the other ones were kind of like, Topher Grace wasn't a stereotypical rom-com guy because he's nerdy. But Ashton Kutcher is that good-looking, good guy who you never find in real life. There's no Ashton Kutchers in real life. And no offense, Joel.
None taken.
And so I think that's why. That's why they casted him in that part. And then there's kind of like a pseudo sequel to this one called New Year's Eve, and he's the lead in that one too.
Yeah.
They missed an opportunity though to have Topher Grace and Ashton Kutcher do something together. They're both that 70s show. Why wasn't there like a crossover there somehow to have just like even a sentence to each other would have been happy to me.
Because that is giving something to the fans, and people don't like giving stuff to the fans, apparently, so.
Missed opportunity. Who would you say is your favorite grouping in that movie? Mine is still Anne Hathaway and Dover Grace.
I would have to agree with you. They were probably the most enjoyable. The funniest. I got a good kick out of their whole schnick and their whole dynamic and her job and his reaction and just everything about it was very good. I enjoyed it.
I also like Taylor Swift and Taylor Lautner, only because when this movie came out, it was announced that they were dating in real life, and I was like 15, and I was so excited about everything Taylor Swift related that obviously it was a big deal for me to see them play that part in the movie. And then his one line that, like, oh, I don't like taking my shirt off in public. When he's Taylor Lautner, like, he's famous for taking his shirt off in public.
I forgot what caused the brain aneurysm. Now I remember. It was those scenes.
I love them. And then she wrote that beautiful song for the movie that I used to cry myself to sleep when I would listen to it. It's beautiful.
Horrible. Horrible. Well, I watched all 10. I'm still alive. Heart's still beating. I haven't lost any dignity. Well, debatable. So I have survived the 10 movies, and I've survived more because I've had to watch How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days and the other Bridget Jones,
which is the rom-com of rom-coms. If anyone hasn't seen it and they're a fan of rom-coms, it is what started every rom-com. Do you agree? After watching all these, you're like, that's a Bridget Jones thing.
There were a lot of Bridget Jones-esque.
Like the clumsy girl and, oh, the guy's so dashing. And
yeah. I was cheating. There was, yeah. It did kind of kick everything off. But I think my all-time favorite is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Out of all the rom-coms? Mine is still Bridget Jones. That is it. And then, I don't know, sequel would be The Other Woman.
All right. I survived this, but... Well, there's me having to suffer. I don't know if this is suffering because you have to watch pro wrestling, and you've never watched pro wrestling.
No, I haven't. Well, I tried when I was little because my dad's a really big fan, and now he's super excited for me to have to do this.
Oh, I think you were very careful in your choices. I'm very careful in my choices because there's an old saying in pro wrestling is 90% of it's crap, 10% is good, but when it's good, it's phenomenal. It brightens my day every time. So it will all be strictly World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, WWF, and it'll be the first One Fall podcast without Josh. So that will be new and exciting. So eventually we will get you all set up watching greats like Macho Man Randy Savage, Stone Cold Steve. You're going to enjoy yourself, trust me.
And then, after that, it's Captain America versus Spider-Man. We're putting money on this bet this time, because I'm sick of winning and then not getting anything.
You get the recognition.
Barely! Barely recognition! I want to bet. If Joel loses the Spider-Man versus Captain America episode, he needs to dress up like Peggy Carter and walk the streets of downtown Calgary.
If I win, you have to. I'm not going to be as bad to you. You've got to wear a sign that says Spider-Man is better than Captain America around your neck and have a little bell.
That is so much worse. I'm not making you hate Spider-Man. I'm making you dress up as Peggy Carter, a fucking kick-ass bitch. Fuck you, Joel.
You're going to lose.
Your dad is on my team. How does that make you feel?
You know, a little sad. Thanks.
Shout out to Rhonda Johnson, the coolest girl I know.
Oh, God. She's going to... Oh, Mom's going to enjoy that. Well, thank you for joining us as we have made me watch rom-coms. And I didn't kill myself, so I think that's a positive. So make sure you stay tuned to everything Stick Boy does and find Mackenzie on...
You can find me on Twitter, I guess. I don't have many social... Watch Soulworks on Wednesday night.
There we go. A little cheap plug. And you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and all that good stuff. So make sure you stay tuned and enjoy the day.
Well, tonight I see us going back to my place.
Trent, as long as you're up, son.
Oh. Oh, come on, Pop.
You two have fun.
You live with your parents?
Is that a problem?